You're listening to a rebroadcast of a live walk talk from Instagram.
We got Philippines. Good morning, good morning. We got Liberty Mo. What's up? Local Missourian. Thanks for joining me, guys. Type in the comments where you're checking in from. Today is a beautiful day. The title of today's walk talk is Five Lies About the Flesh. Okay, so we're going to get into that today. I think it's really going to help you out. My name is Matt McMillan. I'm a Christian author. I've written 7 books. All my books are available on Amazon in paperback, Kindle, and hardcover. So check them out if you get some time. If you've read any of my books, please go back and leave me a quick review. Greatly appreciate that. I also have a podcast. I am recording the latest episode live. Thanks for joining me, guys. Thanks for joining me. Good morning. Good morning. Live on Instagram. This is where I record my podcast, Walk Talks with Matt McMillan. And then I refurbish them. I put them on the actual podcast after I record them live here. And I also put them on YouTube. So if you want to go back, do any searching, search my YouTube channel. You can search the podcast, Walk Talks with Matt McMillan. I think I can help you understand who you are and who Christ is and who you are together. So that is the focus of my ministry, trying to help you improve the quality of your life by understanding Jesus and you and who you are together. All right. Now, if you want to contact me, please don't message me on social media. Real quickly, if you are getting messages from somebody on social media, that's not me. That's a fake account. So fake accounts are out there. They will basically copy a profile and then start messaging people. You think you're talking to me, but you're actually not. So just know, I will never message you on social media unless we're like in a close friendship. So, or I know you somehow. I just don't do that. I will interact with you. If you want to interact with me, go to my website, go over to the contact page. I'll be glad to interact with you there. All right. So let's get to today's walk talk. 5 lies about the flesh. Oh, one more thing real quickly. When you're on my website, sign up for the free daily devotional. Just go to the free newsletter tab, put in your name and email address. I'll send you a daily devotional once a day. All right. Now, 5 lies about the flesh. So today I'm going to go over 5 lies about the flesh. You might be thinking I'm talking about your flesh. Your body. I'm not. I'm talking about the flesh. And you, this might just be a wild concept to you. And I'm going to help you understand how we got to this point of confusing the flesh with flesh. Confusing the flesh with your body. So I'm going to talk about that today. I'm going to go over 5 lies about the flesh. Here are the 5 lies. So I'm going to tell you what the 5 lies are. And then I'm going to do a little bit of background on how we got to this confusion. Then we're going to dive into all 5. Okay, so the first lie is, now bear with me, okay? Because the lie can also be in the context of how somebody is telling you that lie. Okay, lie number 1. Jesus said, the flesh is willing, but the spirit is weak. Okay, bear with me. He did say that, but most people will use that as your flesh. He's not talking about your flesh when he said the flesh is willing, but the spirit is weak. So that's number 1. All right, number 2, the second lie about the flesh. Your greatest challenge is your flesh. All right, that's number 2. Number 3, the third lie about the flesh. Your flesh wants the opposite of what God wants. Okay, that's number 3. Your flesh wants the opposite of what God wants. All right, number 4, the fourth lie about the flesh. Your flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. According to Galatians 5, your flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. According to Galatians 5. Now, are we talking about your flesh or the flesh? Are we talking about the Holy Spirit? Or are we talking about your actual spirit? We're going to get into that today, okay? And then the fifth lie, Romans chapter 7 is proof that you have a sinful nature in your flesh and you must fight it. I'm going to repeat that, the fifth lie, and I'm going to dive deep into all five of these. But the fifth lie, I'm going to repeat, Romans 7 is proof that you have a sinful nature in your flesh, and you got to fight it. Okay, so I'm going to go into those today, but first of all, before I get into that, sorry, I'm fiddling with this phone, trying to get this wind muff better at the bottom here. It's not windy today, but as I walk, wind hits my phone, and I just don't want it to sound crunchy. Okay, so before we get into these five, where we get in this ideology of the flesh and your flesh being the same thing? And this might just be just a wild concept to you, and I totally get it, because even when I understood the new covenant, I knew a lot of the new covenant. All of the new covenant, air quote, theology, even though it's not a theology, I knew all the stuff because I could compare the old covenant to the new covenant, and I knew the differences. I could tell, no, that's old covenant. This is why that. This is new covenant. This is why this. Jesus brought in the new covenant at the cross. Even when I knew all that stuff for years, I still could not fully grasp the concept of the difference between the flesh and my flesh. So I constantly said that there was something wrong with my flesh, or there's something wrong in my flesh, which is basically saying that my flesh is bad, the way that it was being taught. So here's the thing. Okay, so when you go to the Bible and you see the word flesh, it's not always talking about your physical body. Okay? In Scripture, there are two different Greek words. You've got soma, S-O-M-A, which is flesh. And then you've got sarx, S-A-R-X, which is the flesh. Okay, the problem with this is we have an English translation of flesh and the flesh. Soma is flesh. That's your physical body. This shell, this avatar I'm walking around in right now, this is soma. You're watching this with your soma. You have soma. You are flesh. God created you as soma. Okay, then you've got the flesh. And I shouldn't even say you've got. Let's just say there is the flesh. So you got soma. I'm going to spell this out, because once you understand the difference, it's going to help you so much. It's so freeing when you understand these truths about the words flesh and the flesh. So you got flesh, soma. There's no T-H-E in front of it. Then you got sarx, which is the flesh. T-H-E and then flesh. Sarx is not your physical body. Sarx is not your flesh. Okay? So when you see that little T-H-E in front of the word flesh in the Bible, it is never talking about your physical body. Now, if you want to dive deeper into this, use Bible Hub. It is an online resource. It's a website. You can search the Greek. So you can type in, for example, Matthew 26, when Jesus said the flesh is willing and the spirit is weak. That doesn't say soma. That says sarx. And I'm going to dive deep into that as number one. But before I get into these, I got to set this foundation up of the difference between soma, which is your physical body, and it's a great thing. Soma is wonderful. Okay? And then you've got sarx, S-A-R-X, which is the flesh. So the flesh is not your physical body. The flesh is not you. So when you read the Bible and you co-mingle flesh with the flesh, or you read the flesh as in that's my physical body, that's where you're going to struggle. That's when you're going to confuse your physical body with the flesh, with sarx. Now, you might be saying, well, what is the flesh? What is sarx? The flesh is a separate entity from you. The flesh is not you. The flesh is worldly ways of getting your needs met. Old coping mechanisms. It is even the power of sin, hamartia, not the verbs of sinning, coming to life through your actions and attitudes, even through your brain, causing sinful thoughts. So the flesh is not your body. The flesh is not you. So in the first century, even before the first century, and even now, there's a group called the Gnostics. They talk Gnosticism. Gnosticism says there's something wrong with your body. Gnosticism says Jesus would have never come in the flesh. So when somebody teaches you that the flesh is you, and you are the flesh, therefore you are bad, therefore you can't trust your own body, that is actually a form of Gnosticism. And the entire letter of 1 John is addressing Gnosticism that had slipped into this young group of Christians. So you got soma, flesh. You got sarx, the flesh. If you're still having a difficult time understanding, is this talking about my body, soma, flesh, or is this talking about sarx, the flesh? Do the Greek breakdown whenever you want. Okay, because according to Romans chapter 8, verse 9, when you trust in Jesus, you are taken out of the flesh, placed into the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So you are not in the flesh. You can walk according to the flesh, but that is a walk. It is not what you are in. It would be like, and I use this example all the time, it would be like an eagle in this yard right here next to these chickens. If there was chickens here in this yard and an eagle, and I looked down and I seen this eagle pecking on the ground, acting like a chicken. That is an eagle. What the heck is that eagle doing out here pecking at these bugs? It was meant to fly high and be regal and look cool and stuff. It's walking like a chicken. That is not its natural position. Same with us. When we walk according to the flesh, we are not keeping in step with the Spirit. We are not expressing who we are. And I'm going to get into that today in number 4. Okay, so we're going to get into that. So I wanted to talk about that, tell you the difference between the flesh and flesh. Now I want to touch on one other thing before I get into these 5, because this is going to help me explain these 5 better. Another big issue is the NIV translation in the early 80s. And I love the NIV. It's a great Bible. There's no perfect translation because by the time you break it down in the word form, it still doesn't have the exact meaning. Then when you break it down into the phrase form, not every language can break it down. So when we fight over translations, I don't go down that path because there's no perfect translations except for the original penned manuscripts. Okay. But the overall gist is still the same. Okay. But the NIV Bible, and I'm not bad-mouthing NIV. I've got an NIV. I love the NIV. The NIV in the early 80s, in order to be easier to read, they translated it into some very easy to read text. Now, whereas there was a lot of good things that was done, there was one major problem, huge problem. The NIV translation in the early 80s, I believe it was the 84 edition, translated the words, the flesh, to sinful nature. Okay, so we talked about what the flesh is. And the NIV changed it from the flesh to sinful nature. Because they knew that the flesh is not your physical body, but it's not also not your flesh. So they changed it to sinful nature. Here's the problem with that. sarx, which is the flesh, does not mean sinful. It does not mean nature. It also does not mean soma. It also does not mean your body. So this is a terrible translation. Here's another big issue. The NIV was preached from the most in the 80s. It was the best-selling translation of Scripture. So you've got pulpit after pulpit after pulpit now preaching with the words sinful nature in their sermons. But the words sinful nature are not in the Bible. The words sinful nature are not in the Bible. Now, if you was trained up or heard lots of sermons from the NIV translation, you might be thinking, this is wild. No, I hear sinful nature all the time. Sinful nature, sinful nature. It's because of the NIV translation. Rather than use the words the flesh, they use sinful nature, when they should have been using the flesh and explaining that the flesh is not your body. But the problem is, millions upon millions upon millions of Christians who have this Bible, who were taught from this Bible, now believe they have two natures. You got a good nature, you got a sinful nature. My sinful nature causes me to sin. So now we're looking at the flesh as my sinful nature. And we're saying we have a sinful nature, according to these passages in Scripture that says the flesh, which was translated to sinful nature. So now we are pitting ourselves against ourselves. We are saying we've got our flesh, and then we've got our sinful nature that's in our flesh. Even worse. The words sinful nature are not in the Bible. You do not have to have a sinful nature to sin. I'm going to repeat that, because this is a wild concept if you don't get it. According to the Bible, you do not have to have a sinful nature to sin. Did Adam and Eve sin? Yeah. Did they have a sinful nature? No. You sin when you choose to do, think, or act some way which is not of faith, which is disbelieving God. Anything that, Paul even said this in Romans 14, anything that's not of faith is sin. So you could be doing something that appears to be something really good and philanthropic, or whatever that word is, philanthropic, you know what I'm saying, where you give stuff away. But that can be done sinfully if it's not being done of faith. So when you see the words sinful nature, and here's another thing, just real quick before I go on to that. We have gotten to the point where we think that we are continually crucifying our sinful nature, therefore we're not sinning anymore, or we're sinning less. That is a huge dumpster fire of what happened from the NIV translation, which was preached everywhere. And people study the Bible thinking that they have to do something harmful to a sinful part of themselves. The flesh is not sinful nature. The flesh is not you. So if the flesh is not you and sinful nature is the flesh, sinful nature, when you see that in the Bible, first of all, it doesn't mean sinful. It doesn't mean nature according to the original word sarx. It doesn't mean your body. It doesn't mean you have a good nature and a bad nature. Peter said you have God's divine nature. You have one nature. Nature means natural. What's natural to you? To walk according to the Spirit. Because you have crucified the flesh. Galatians 5:24. You have crucified the flesh. So when you, past tense, and that's the flesh. That's not your flesh. If you crucified your flesh, you get one hand nailed in. How are you going to nail the other one? Plus you would die. You are not crucifying your flesh. Okay? You have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. The words sinful nature are not in the Bible. Here's another thing. After much advice from many different Bible scholars, Zondervan, who printed the NIV Bible, changed it back to the flesh. So Zondervan, who is the publisher for the NIV, they actually, after so many people reached out, be like, hey, there's sinful nature is not in the Bible. Sinful nature, the flesh does not mean sinful nature. This Bible is causing people to think they have two natures. And you're confusing the flesh with their body when you do this too. You got to change this back. This is not what this means. They changed it back. But the damage was done. You got all these Bibles out here that have the word sinful nature in it. And when I tell people, did you know the word sinful nature are not in the Bible? They're like, what? No, right here. You're reading an old NIV translation, which hasn't been updated. The newer translations, they say the flesh. Why? Because the flesh is sarx. The flesh is not you. The flesh is a separate entity. The flesh is what you have crucified. The flesh is what you have been taken out of. The flesh is what you can walk according to erroneously, because you're not walking in step with the Spirit, which is actually who you are, who you're one with. So if you've got an old translation of the NIV, you can search every passage that says sinful nature, and you can put a Sharpie line through it. Sinful nature, straight line through it, and write the flesh above it. Sinful nature, the flesh. Sinful nature, the flesh. Why? Because you are not the flesh. Because you do not have a sinful nature. You have God's divine nature. Because you've trusted in Jesus, you have been taken out of the flesh. Now, before you've trusted in Jesus, yes, you have a natural tendency to express worldly ways of getting your needs met. You haven't been crucified with Christ yet. But according to believers, you have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, which that's the old I, which was in the flesh. It is now the life I now live. I'm reading Galatians 2:20 from my memory bank here to you. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but the life I now live. So you got the old I, which was in the flesh. We're still not talking about your flesh. You have flesh, but you are not in the flesh. You've been taken out of flesh. You've been crucified with the flesh. Because Jesus also became the flesh. And I'm going to talk about that today at number one. Okay, so rule of thumb, when you see the words the flesh, it is never describing your physical body. That Greek word is sarx. That is not your body. That is not your sinful nature. You don't have a sinful nature. Peter said you have God's divine nature. You have a good nature. You naturally want to express the fruit of the Spirit. God has poured himself into you, written himself on you, and now you have a natural connotation to express everything that is of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, keeping no records of wrongs, delighting in the truth, not evil. So many characteristics that you have now, which are good, are the natural characteristics that you have, which are written here. You're not fighting a sinful nature. You don't have a sinful nature. You're learning more about your good nature, your new nature. Now you can go to a box. Calm down, McMillan. Ooh, I'm triggered right now. You can go to a box church and they can tell you, they're going to pitch you against yourself. They want you in a civil war with your own body. And your body, there's nothing wrong with it. There's something wrong with the flesh, and you've been taken out of it. You've crucified it. It's not you. Not all box churches do that. When I say box church, if you're new to my ministry, I'm just talking about institutional churches, the dime a dozen that you see everywhere that teach, you know, the error that we see everywhere. When I say the error, anything that is opposed to the new covenant truth, who you are, what you want. Okay, so let's get into these five. So the five lies about the flesh. So we've established soma, your flesh, your body. Sarx, the flesh, not your body, not a sinful nature. I mean, you do not have to have a sinful nature to sin. I just want to go off on this for just one more minute. John said in the book of 1 John, if anyone does sin. So he's not trying not to not sin. He's not saying we don't sin. He's saying if anyone does sin, you've got an advocate. Who is it? Jesus. He's saying you're already forgiven. So let's not walk that way, because you're not in the darkness. You're in the light. You have the word of God, the spirit of Jesus Christ in you. So he talks about the sin, but he says Jesus is forgiving you. So let's not do those things. Let's not express that stuff. James even said in James 2:10, we all stumble in many ways. The very half-brother of Jesus. So many Christians out there, they want to say, I don't sin. And when I sin, I repent. They're so focused on this milk. And they need solid food. They need to be trained up in their righteousness. They're still focusing on these elementary truths of sinning that they don't even have the option to express their righteness. All right, let's get past that. Okay, five lies about the flesh. Number one, Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right there, McMillan. Did Jesus say it? Oh, I gotcha, McMillan. He said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You always got to fight your flesh, because your spirit and your flesh is always at battle. That's not the context. When Jesus said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak in Matthew 26, he is not talking about your flesh and your spirit fighting one another. Your flesh is weak. Jesus even said, spirit's willing, flesh is weak. Your spirit wants it. Yeah, but your flesh don't want it. What's the Greek word there? Is it soma? No, he's not talking about your flesh. He's talking about sarx. He's also not talking about your spirit. He's talking about his spirit. So with those two things in mind, I'm going to repeat it. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In the garden, begging the Father for another way, God has answered. The spirit, as in the spirit of Jesus, is willing to do what he's getting ready to do, which is become sarx. So he's saying, and I'm going to prove that to you here in just a moment. He's saying the spirit, as in my spirit as Jesus, not me, Matt McMillan, but Jesus saying that, my spirit is willing, and I'm going to show you that the flesh is weak. I'm going to show you that sarx is weak. How? The cross. On the cross, he is going to become sin. Hamartia, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin so that you could become righteous. But not just that. He became sarx. He became the flesh. Romans 8, 3 and 4. He became sinful flesh. This is not talking about your body. The Greek word is sarx in Romans 8, 3 and 4. He became sinful flesh. But we go to this passage and we say, your flesh is sinful. No. Jesus became sinful flesh. Why? Because he is the Son of God being offered up as a sin offering. Why? In order to attain the righteous requirements of the law. Perfection. And you might be saying, well, I'm not under the law. I'm a Gentile. I understand that. That's why Paul writes the righteous requirements of the law. What's the righteous requirements of the law? Be perfect like God. Matthew 5:48. Do all or do none. Galatians 3:10. Sorry, I'm triggered. I'm trying to control my triggers right now. Oh, I've just heard so much teaching where Romans 8:3-4 is pitting you against your sinful flesh. And it's not even talking about your sinful flesh. It's talking about Sarks. It's talking about Jesus becoming Sarks as a sin offering to meet the righteous requirements for all of humanity, which is perfection. The Hebrews couldn't do it because they were doing that according to the law. The Gentiles couldn't do that because they were doing that according to whatever they wanted. So what did Jesus do? He made the flesh weak because his spirit was willing. All right. So I just want to put a little bow on that, on number one there. Jesus saying the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He's not talking about you pitting yourself against your body. He's talking about his spirit going to the cross to become Sarks, according to Romans 8:3-4, but also to become the power of sin. He became sin. He became Sarks. Why? Because you were in him when he was on the cross. He is not bound by time, space, or matter. So you were crucified. You have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. You're not in the flesh. Why? Because Christ became Sarks. Christ took you out of Sarks. Christ put you in his spirit. He has caused you to be hidden inside of himself by grace through faith. All right, number two, the second lie about the flesh, okay? Number two, your greatest challenge is your flesh. Goodness gracious, when I was doing some research on this, I just really wanted to find the TikToks that were in egregious error, and there was about a 5 or 8 minute TikTok of this lady just using every single passage about the flesh and using it in the context of your flesh. I was like, no. And it had tons of views, tons of likes, and all these people were thinking that everything she is saying is the truth because it's getting a lot of interaction. But I'm like, no, please, you have the flesh confused with your flesh. You have soma confused with Sarks. I even commented, I'm sorry, but you've got soma confused with Sarks. They're not the same. One of the things that she said, God love her, she's a sweet lady. Loved most of her stuff. And I was there once. So I totally get where she's coming from. But once you understand this, it makes more sense. But she said, your greatest challenge in your life is not going to be the devil. He's already defeated. It's going to be your flesh. I mean, your greatest challenge is not your flesh. Could you imagine God deciding to create you and thinking, I'm gonna make them be in a civil war for 80 years. I'm gonna pit them against their own body. That's not what God does. He doesn't think like that. He didn't make you like that. But the NIV translation, the sinful nature translation, confusing flesh with the flesh, here we have it. We've got people saying your greatest challenge in life is gonna be your flesh. Imagine if you've ever been in a delivery room. You're in a delivery room, the baby is born, the baby gets put in your hands, this fresh little creature, life, warm and cute and a nice little piece of flesh. Imagine if you said to that little baby, your greatest challenge is going to be your flesh. Madness. This is absolute madness. Your greatest challenge is not your flesh. That's what the devil wants you to think. So you hate yourself. So you hate your body. So you hate other people's bodies. So you think there's something wrong with sex. So you think there's something wrong with everything that has to do with this amazing physical shell that you're walking around in. God doesn't want you to think that though. Your greatest challenge in life is not going to be your flesh. Your flesh gets you places. Your flesh has natural God-given desires. You want to eat. You want to sleep. You want to feel comfort. You want to be excited. You want to be entertained. You want to have orgasms. You want to poop. You want to pee. You want to feel comfort and feel safe? Yeah, that's your flesh. That's not a challenge. That's called being a human. The devil wants you to think it's a challenge. So you live in misery. And so you confuse these physical challenges with the flesh. Or physical, they're not even challenges. They're physical needs, desires, wants. Your body needs oxygen. It needs a burger. Your greatest challenge in life is not going to be your flesh. Here's what your greatest challenge in life is going to be. Understanding the magnitude of the grace of God, which came through Jesus Christ. That will be your ultimate challenge. Second to that will be understanding who you are as the new creation. That's going to be your biggest challenge. Now, when we get into saying that your body is going to be your greatest challenge, there is a litany of things that people will attempt to use, and they will confuse the flesh with your body. So let's talk about that in the next two. So number three, the third lie about the flesh. Your flesh wants the opposite of what God wants. Your flesh wants the opposite of what God wants. Some people say your flesh desires the opposite of what God wants. No, it doesn't. The flesh does. Again, your flesh has natural desires. It is the flesh that has desires that go against God. For example, John said in 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh. Many people will go to this and say, right here, the lust of your flesh. See what they do? So I think when you come to understand this, you can begin to understand when you study the Bible now and you see the word flesh, is this the flesh or is it my flesh? Remember, the T-H-E in front of it is always describing sarx. So when John said in 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh, that's not your body. That's the flesh. So as you can see, the flesh has lust, not you. The flesh has lust, not you. So you can walk according to lust if you want, but you're not in the flesh. You're walking according to something that you're not. You have natural sexual desires. That's not lust. That's called you have reproductive organs. You know, this whole thing about making sex a bad thing. God thought of sex. He thought of the beginning, the warm up, thought of the middle, even thought of the end. Nothing wrong with it. But if we go to the Bible and we say, the lust of the flesh, you gotta. And then they apply lust, which is coming from the flesh, not you. And then you confuse your regular sexual needs with some type of nastiness. Your body does not want the opposite of what God wants. Your body does not have desires which are opposite of what God wants. Why would God create you as his most magnificent masterpiece, everything he's made here, put us in charge of all of it, and then said, good luck with your sexual needs. You better not be lustful. But we confuse, my loins is burning, with the lust of the flesh. You know, the lust of the flesh. Anything that is not of faith is the lust of the flesh. Fill in the blank. I'm not going down that path today, But I've done plenty on sexual stuff, so search my past walk talks. But here's the thing. Your body was created by God. Your body was not created by God with the opposite desires of God. That is the flesh. And again, you are not the flesh. You have flesh. You're soma. You are not the flesh. Sarx. Okay. Number four, the fourth lie about the flesh. Number four. Your flesh desires the opposite of the spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5. Your flesh desires the opposite of the spirit, according to Galatians. What does it say right here, Matt? Galatians 5:17, your flesh is contrary to the spirit. Your flesh. See what we're doing there? Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. The spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. Where are you? Keep going. It says, they are in battle with one another. And when you attempt to get into that battle, what happens? Same verse. You don't do what you want to do. So if you don't want to do what you don't want, if you don't want to do what you really want to do, attempt to get into the battle with the flesh and the spirit. We go to this passage and we're like, that's my body and that's my spirit, or that's my body and that's the Holy Spirit. No, this is the flesh and the Holy Spirit, capital S. This is Sarx and the Holy Spirit, not you. We go, triggered. Give me a second. We go, I know this because as a teenager, when I would read Galatians chapter 5 of my old NIV, I would see the sinful nature and the spirit are at battle with each other. And I used to think, my gosh, my sinful nature is at battle with my own spirit. My sinful nature is at battle with the Holy Spirit. So here we have sinful nature being used, and it doesn't even say sinful nature. It says the flesh, because sinful nature is not in the Bible. And then we confuse sarx with soma. The Greek word here is sarx. It's not you. It's not your body. If you keep going down to Galatians 5:24, you can see those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. You can see the flesh is in it. You've crucified it. It's dead. It's buried. You could walk according to something that's like a Weekend at Bernie's, but that's not your body. That's not you. Your flesh is not doing anything contrary according to the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. Your flesh is not doing anything contrary to the Spirit according to anything in Scripture, especially Galatians chapter 5. But we go to Galatians chapter 5 and we immediately pit people's physical body against the Spirit, or we say they have a sinful nature and we pit it against the Spirit. This is insane. And we see what happens. And what is the context of this? The Galatians, Paul had established the gospel. He didn't go in there preaching anything about the law. He taught them about Christ and Christ crucified. You receive the Spirit by hearing with faith. The Judaizers and the James gang come in behind him and attempt to push in the law with grace. And Paul is saying, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You began with the Spirit. Now you're trying to attempt to perfect yourself through observing the law, namely circumcision. And that is of the flesh. That is not you. So basically, there you got people who are saying, no, we know Jesus, but you still need this. You got to add this. You got to be circumcised. Jesus was a Jew. It's the flesh. It's saying you're doing something in order to attain righteousness through what you're doing.
We see it everywhere. Put God first. Put God first. You can't outgive God.
Get off it, McMillan. Let me calm down. Let me count down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2,
and we're back.
You know, you got the very good looking the flesh, which was happening in Galatia, where, oh no, you do this stuff, it makes you look better. This is from the Torah, and this is everything that Jesus, he was one of us. Look at this. Let's add in some of the law. Sound familiar? So the really good looking the flesh. Oh yes. Oh, he is a godly man. He never skips the Sabbath. Oh, he tithes his mint, dill, and cumin. The flesh, not flesh, not even sinful nature. And you can see the acts of the flesh, which are obvious. And you list all these things off in Galatians chapter 5. And these things are being expressed because people are attempting to obey better. So you got the good looking, the flesh. You can also have the air quotes, bad looking, the flesh. You got the licentious stuff. The entire book of Jude is written about that. You got people who were saying you should sin more. You should do debaucherous things because you're free. You should. I get accused of this every day. And if you're not being accused of this, you're probably not being radical enough with the gospel. I don't say that. I say you're forgiven and you're still righteous. Really, that's not for you. So Jude, they were coming in, perverting the gospel, saying you should do bad stuff. So you got the licentiousness, that's the flesh. You got the legalism, that's the flesh. They're both the flesh. But neither is your flesh. Neither is your body. Because you've trusted in Jesus, you have crucified the flesh. This is why Paul, after he says that, Galatians 5:24, since we are in the Spirit, let us walk in step with the Spirit. He's reminding them who they are. That's not for you. If you, all of this stuff, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such things there is no law, he says. Against such things you cannot legislate. You cannot legislate the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot pass a law which will cause somebody to express the fruit of the Spirit. But that's the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 saying, your flesh and the Spirit desire opposite things is wrong. It is the flesh and the Holy Spirit. Your spirit desires what the Spirit wants. You have the mind of God. You have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You have the mind of Christ. You don't have a reprobate mind. That's an unbeliever who has rejected faith in Yahweh. We are talking about your mind. Your mind wants everything that God wants. And you are maturing and you're learning and you're growing. And you're in this little finite shell. Don't ever read Galatians chapter 5 thinking it's talking about your flesh, because it's not. It's talking about the flesh. All right, let's go on to one other thing. Romans chapter 8 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life. Your mind is governed by the Spirit. This is why when you're in a 6-month battle with somebody and it doesn't seem like anything's ever going to work out, in your spirit, in your mind, you love them. You don't want to do anything vindictive. You don't want to do anything nasty. You just want peace and you love them. But some things are going to have to change. And if they don't, this is not going to be resolved. That's a mind being governed by the spirit. A mind being governed by the flesh is, I'm going to get them. I'm going to post something nasty on social media. I'm going to gossip to everybody I can think of. I'm going to make them look like the worst person ever. That's the mind governed by the flesh. The mind governed by the spirit is, I'd really like to figure this out. It's the difference there. Mind governed by the flesh will cause division and turmoil and chaos and no responsibility taken, no accountability taken, and it is just madness. But you can tell when somebody has their mind governed by the Spirit. They've done everything that they can do to get this to be figured out, and the other party just ain't budging. But your mind is still governed by the Spirit, and you want what is good for you and them. That's why Paul said, as long as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As long as it depends on you. Sometimes people who have their mind governed by the flesh, or they're walking according to the flesh as a holy person, they don't want it. It's not you. But they're gonna gossip. They're going to lie. They're going to gaslight. They're going to do it so long to where maybe you just finally give in. Don't give in. Stick to your guns. You're worth it. I don't know where that came from, but there you go. All right, number five, the fifth lie about the flesh. What is the fifth lie? Oh, Romans, this will be a quick one. Romans 7 is proof that you have a sinful nature in your flesh, and you must fight it. Romans 7 is proof that you have a sinful nature in your flesh, and you must fight it. Again, Romans 7 does not say sinful nature. Romans 7 is difficult to understand. I did a whole chapter on Romans 7 in one of my books. I was like, this is a difficult chapter. I am going to spell this out the best I can. Maybe I can help people out. So if you want to read that chapter, you can read it for free. Go to my website. Just go to the search bar, type in Romans 7. It's an entire chapter. It says the truth about Romans 7. So real quickly, Romans 7. First of all, the words sinful nature are not in the Bible. So got to take that out. So you don't have a sinful nature in your flesh. Okay. So that's not there. Okay. And then Romans 7 is not talking about the normal Christian life. Why? Because Paul is describing his past life as a devout Pharisee under the law. How do I know this? Because he says, I delight in the law. He also says that he was struggling with one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. So here's what's happening in Romans. He starts out saying, the Gentiles are without excuse. They could see that there was a creator. They rejected the creator. He let them go on their ways. You got the Jews. You guys had the oracles, the law, the very lineage of God, but you still did not believe God. So he let you go on your way. And then he talks about Adam being born in Adam, and then receiving the free gift of righteousness through Christ, the blood of Jesus, saving you from the wrath of God. You've got peace with God. Romans chapter 6 talks about how you were crucified, buried, resurrected as a whole new creation. He says, sin will no longer be your master because you're not under the law, but under grace in Romans 6:14. I will repeat that right before Romans 7. He says, sin will no longer be your master because you're not under the law, but under grace. And then I believe he has a flashback of when he was under the law in Romans chapter 7. And again, he didn't list these out as chapters. Chapters were added in the 16th century. So when you read, you got to read it all along. He wasn't writing Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7. So you get to Romans chapter 7, and he begins talking about how miserable his life was. And what's he describing? Attempting to live a life under the Mosaic covenant. I'm doing the very things I don't want to do. Wretched, miserable man am I. So he's delighting in the law. He's saying, I want to do this stuff. I want to obey, but I can't do it. The more I do it, the more I mess up. And then he says, sin in his members. So is this the flesh? No, it's not the flesh. It is hamartia, the power of sin, in his members. We're not even talking about the verbs of sinning. We're talking about the force that has infected everything physical, which entered this realm through Adam, which causes everything to eventually die and decay. We still have that in our members, in this body. But we are not sin. And we are not sinful. So if there was a spiritual operating table and we could open you up, we would see the power of sin, the force in your physical body, as a tumor, so to speak. Sin in my members. So he doesn't say his members are sinful. He's talking about hamartia. So you got sin in my members. What happens with that sin when you attempt to follow the law? It is stirred up. It is bubbled up. Who will save me, wretched, miserable man that I am? Oh, Romans 8 happens. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no condemnation for me, is what Paul is saying. No condemnation for me. He has been set free from sin and death. Romans 8, 2 and 3. Sin, been set free from it. Death, been set free from it. But you go to Romans 7 and you only read Romans 7 without reading Romans 1 through 6 and then 8 and on. And you look at Romans 7 and you're like, oh my God, the Christian life sucks. Who's going to do this? But this is living life under the law. And you can attempt to pick out parts of the law. Oh, we got to have the Ten Commandments, McMillan. How will we know? How do we know? Are you just saying we can just blah, blah, blah? Look, he lists one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. Nobody could see him coveting. The law is an all or nothing proposition. You put a little dollop of the law in with the Christian life. You got a little dollop of stirring up sin. You got a little dollop of indulging the flesh. That's not for you. You live in the Spirit, so walk in step with the Spirit. Your mind is governed by the Spirit. Your mind is not governed by the flesh. So what is the truth about the flesh? The flesh is not you. You have flesh, soma. The flesh, sarx. You have crucified it. Galatians 5:24. Romans 8:9, you have been taken out of the flesh. You can walk that way. And now that you know that it's a walk, you can turn from it quicker. You can repent quicker because you know, well, I'm not in the flesh. And this clearly is not for me. I don't want to do this. I'm not going to be in denial about this anymore. And I'm going to make some changes. Okay, that is maturing, learning, and growing. Not, oh, I'm just in the flesh. Oh, my flesh is so wicked and nasty. Oh, the flesh is at battle. My flesh is at battle with the Spirit. Oh, my flesh is the challenge. My flesh. I just gotta crucify my flesh. No. Ephesians chapter 5. Here's the truth about your flesh. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5, you care for your flesh like Christ cares for the church. So you don't deny your flesh. You care for your flesh. And you are not even denying the flesh. When you attempt to deny the flesh, you are getting into that battle. Again, Galatians 5:17. When you get into the battle with the flesh and the Spirit, what happens? Then you don't do what you want to do. And what do you want to do? You want to express what's listed in Galatians 5:22-23. So you don't even fight the flesh. So you're not fighting your flesh. You're not fighting the flesh. So here's what your flesh is. Your flesh, according to Galatians according to 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19, your flesh is a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is a temple of God. God lives in here, never to leave again. He's zip sealed up. Why? The cross. Yeah, but I'm sinning. Yep, the cross. The blood. He's in you, never going to leave again. Only thing that could cause him to leave is a sin. Oh, you said it right there, McMillan. Yeah, but the cross happened. Their head explodes. And the reason why their head explodes is because most pulpits don't make a big deal out of what happened at the cross. He's no more than a mascot. He's an afterthought. But when you sin, you got to deal with the fact that you're forgiven. When you sin, you got to deal with the fact that even when you are faithless, he remains faithful. When you sin, he cannot deny himself who is in you. When you sin, you have an advocate. When you sin, you cannot superabound the grace of God, which came through Jesus Christ's blood. But not just that, you got your new identity, your new righteousness. It's not just you're forgiven. It's that you want what God wants. You want to express this. You want to do the things because you have a mind governed by God, not by the flesh. I hope this has been clear today. I don't know. Anytime I talk on the flesh, I hope I don't confuse people. I've done other things on the flesh. I think I did a walk talk about a year ago called Is Your Flesh Bad? So if you've watched this, listened to this, and you're still confused, search my YouTube channel, search my podcast, Is Your Flesh Bad? There's another one there. Here's the truth about your flesh. According to Psalm 139, God knit your flesh together. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Inside of your mother's womb, God put you together. Cell by cell by cell by cell by cell. Ligament by ligament by ligament. Muscle, joint, hair. God created you, formed you in your mother's womb. You're amazing. There was a study done on the physical body, your flesh, I don't know, 10 years or so ago. And if each part of you was divided up, not to be gross or anything, but if all of your body parts were divided up and sold, it came out to $5 million, something like that. Your flesh is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, your body is blameless. When you sin, you're not doing something that is blameless, but you're still blameless. Don't confuse what you do with who you are. All right, guys. So I hope this has encouraged you today. I hope it's brought to light some lies, some error, and some truth. And you should always tell the truth about yourself. What's the truth? You're righteous. You're holy, you're blameless. You're a new creation, you're a child of God. There's nothing wrong with you, and you are awesome. So always tell the truth about yourself. Always be yourself. Love y'all. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining me on this Walk Talk. Please be sure to rate and review this podcast and share it with others. Subscribe right now so you don't miss out on any new content. To be encouraged daily, you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. If you want even more information on my ministry or to check out my books, go to www.mattmcmillan.com.